You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Hour number three, quitting time on your Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Russell Smith back with you. Bear Braided Rick, the gang, cruising along. Let's bring in friend of the show, Aaron Torres. Heard weekends here on Fox Sports Radio National. Aaron, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
You know, Russ, I was doing okay until about 2-3 weeks ago when you made a big stink about how I work with Arnie Spanier. And I told him, you know, I went on Arnie Knoxville, our affiliate there. The host there loves you. And this man has been so insufferable since. You'd
really
think he would have never had a fan in his life before.
Wow.
He never stops talking about how big he is in Knoxville. I blame you.
The stinking genius has an ego. Who would have thought?
Well, and, yeah, I guess when you call yourself stinking genius, I shouldn't have been surprised.
Well, send Arnie our love, and you know, he should be proud, because you have a special privilege today, Aaron. It's not every day that you get to be on in a market that has the nation's number one college basketball team, but here you are.
Woo!
Here you
I
are.
Know. Listen.
Yeah.
I want to say, man, it's been an incredible journey. You know, I mean, I remember you bringing me on early to middle of last year, and it was kind of like, okay, we're surpassing expectations. We just went to the Bahamas and won a few games. Like, do you think this can be a tournament team? To, do you think we can win the SEC regular season? To, how far can we go in March? And here we are, fast forward 18 months after this team was picked to finish 13th in the SEC last year. They are the number one team in college basketball. So I know it's given you guys a lot to talk about, a lot to be excited about, but I still think that I don't think we fully appreciate just how crazy this is, not because it's Tennessee. Tennessee has been number one in the country before, but because this group, like, just no one, maybe in the building they did, I don't know, but nobody outside of that building saw this run coming to number one, and to the fact that I think that this team is very much a national championship contender as we head into the second half of the season.
Well, and you look at the roster and the way it's composed, and I don't know if there's ever been a team number one in the modern era of the recruiting experts that has had an entire roster without a single top 100 recruit on it, which is what Tennessee has right now.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I saw that kind of question posed by a couple of you, you Tennessee media members the other day. I can't think of one. You know, I don't know when Gonzaga first got to number one, how many years ago that was. That was kind of one that came to mind, because they really didn't start recruiting that well until the last couple of years. And even when they had guys, they were mostly international guys. But that's the incredible thing. You know, the incredible thing, Russ, is two things. One, the ability to kind of evaluate talent at the high school level and develop them at the college level. But it's also the fact that as these guys have gotten good, as Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams have played themselves into not only all-SEC caliber players, but NBA draft caliber players, as the other guys have come along, as this team has ascended to number one in the country, it still feels very egoless to me. It doesn't feel like if Grant Williams doesn't get the shots and Jordan Bowden scores 20 points off the bench, one, it doesn't feel like Grant Williams is mad, and it doesn't feel like Jordan Bowden is mad that he's coming off the bench. I mean, you know, as Tennessee has kind of gotten this thing going, people say, you know, is this the new model? Do you have to get older? Do you have to have juniors and seniors? And what I always say, Russ, is it's one thing to have juniors and seniors. You got to have the right group of guys, the group of guys that's both good enough but also egoless enough when the NBA scouts come around, when we're talking about the future kind of in professional ranks, and to be able to put all that aside and focus on right now, that has really been one of the more impressive parts to me about this Tennessee run.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of becomes the question now is, can this team maintain its edge? Because it's always been – everybody made a big deal about, you know, picked 13th out of 14 last year, won the league, and it's always been the team with the chip on its shoulder, you know, the team that everybody doubts. Well, you can't do that now. It's like Tom Brady trying to play the Rodney Dangerfield card. It's like nobody's nobody's buying that, man. Like, you're number one now, Tennessee is, and, you know, can't – How do you adjust to that? Because they're, you know, they're going to say, oh, well, nothing changes. But at some level, something has to change, and perception is reality. Can Tennessee keep playing the way that this thing was built on? I think I feel good about that, but it does change when you're number one and you got that huge target on your back. What's your thoughts on how a Rick Barnes program might handle that new pressure?
Yeah, I think what will be interesting is, you know, the thing that's really impressed me so much about this team throughout the season, like I've really enjoyed watching, is that it seems like they come out focused basically every game, and they don't let the opponent kind of dictate, are they up for this game, are they down for this game, whatever. But I think we saw a little bit of that with Alabama on Saturday. I think maybe Alabama's frankly a little bit better than a lot of us realize. They have already beaten Kentucky earlier this season. And so was that a one-game aberration? Was Alabama just a bad matchup? Or is this team starting to kind of read the headlines? Now, I think the good thing, but it can also be a bad thing, is if you look at the schedule, it breaks pretty nicely for Tennessee to kind of keep this thing going. Like, a lot of people have asked me, well, can they now that they're number one, are they going to get tripped up? And it's like, when your schedule is a lot of Vandy and West Virginia, who's not very good this year, Texas A&M, South Carolina, who I'm still not sure if they're good or not. You know, I don't know. Like, would it surprise me if they get tripped up maybe in the next couple weeks? No, wouldn't it surprise me. But also, would it surprise me if, in a kind of a soft spot of the schedule, if they stay hot and keep winning games the way they have? That wouldn't surprise me either. It'll be interesting to see, one, if they can keep their edge, and then two, when the schedule gets really tough late. And I don't know how closely you've seen the back end of that schedule, but the last three or so weeks are brutal. That's when we're going to find out kind of what, you know, if they can kind of keep that level up game in and game out, because the schedule picks up a lot after Valentine's Day.
Aaron Torres with us here this afternoon in the drive. And Aaron, I know you follow a lot of Tennessee folks on Twitter. You are familiar with Vol Twitter's long memory. And I'm sure you've seen some of the, you know, Tennessee fans clowning you know, sports writers and pundits who doubted the Vols, who made fun of Tennessee fans for, Konzo Martin and all that stuff, or whether it's Shiano Sunday, whatever. And Tennessee fans are just brutal in the way they like to, take their victory lap. Where do, and you're far enough removed, are we unique in that regard, or is Tennessee no different from other fan bases that like to have a chip on their shoulder?
It's tough for me to know, because I've been saying nothing but nice things about Tennessee for like the last 2 months.
Tell us how obnoxious we are, Aaron. We're giving you license.
Well, here's the thing. I honestly don't, it's weird, right? Because like a lot of people are getting it. And I think, like, look, hey, I'll be honest with you, Russ. I picked Tennessee to finish third this year in the SEC after they were co-champs last year. I picked them behind Kentucky and Auburn. I was wrong. But I think what it comes from is I do think the media, you know, in a lot of cases can act above fans, can act, you know, like to me, if you just want to criticize me because I'm an idiot, and, I picked Tennessee third in the SEC, like, I have no problem with that. It was a bad projection. But, you know, I think you had me on around that time with the Shiano stuff. Like, I don't really blame Tennessee fans for being frustrated. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that like, you know, I think too many people in the media kind of, like, treats, I don't even know how to fully describe it, but it's like, Russ, you and I and everybody who does this, we got into this because we love sports, yeah, because we are a fan of some team. And so, like, I'll be honest, I understood the frustration when Greg Schiano was named the head coach. As a matter of fact, I remember tweeting that Greg Schiano was Butch Jones with a better haircut. And I remember feeling bad for Tennessee fans because I knew they were in this same spin cycle of, well, we're going to be terrible for 4 years and then we're going to try to do this thing over again. And so I understood the frustration. Now, some of the stuff with the Jerry Sandusky stuff, I didn't, you know, from what I remember, that felt, I don't know if it was, you know, whatever. But, like, I understood the frustration of when everyone sees a really bad hire coming from a mile away and the school's kind of just like, no, you got to, you know, this is it. You got to, we are in charge. And the media not getting, like, yeah, you don't have to like it, but you also don't have to show up. And so I defended them with the Schiano stuff. And honestly, man, you know, I've been doing this long enough where I understand the frustration of the fan base as a whole with both football and basketball. And so, like, yeah, if it makes me, and like, I'm not a Tennessee fan, but if it makes me unbiased or if it makes me biased to say, like, I'm happy to see that whole state have some success and have something to cheer about, like, I guess I'm biased because I enjoy, I'm happy for the fact I know a lot of you guys. I'm happy for the fact you got something good, you got something positive going down there in Tennessee.
Aaron, let me tell you, man, when I grew up in Knoxville during the 1990s when Tennessee football was the thing, you know, and multiple SEC championships, the 98 national championship, Peyton Manning, all that stuff. And so, you know, I go to UT and I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to do a sports radio show in Knoxville. This is going to be awesome, you know. And by the time I get my own show in 2004, this drop-off begins. And like the last 10 years, it's been insane. So just to have, basketball will never be as big as football here in Knoxville, but just to have a taste of the big time, a taste of the success. I know for me personally, it's like, oh yeah, this is why I got into this business, is to cover a big time team that actually matters. And we had it for a moment in 2008 under Bruce Pearl and everything. But I mean, it was brief.
Well, and what I was going to say, too, was, you know, I don't even know if you know this, Russ, but, you know, I went to UConn, University of Connecticut, Tennessee's big rival in women's basketball for years. But, you know, I think that, you know, UConn men's basketball, I don't really care too much for women's basketball. I don't know if that offends anybody in Knoxville or Storrs for that matter. But, like, UConn men's basketball is the only team that I kind of, like, I root for. I'm like, that's my school. I love them, you know? And so last couple years, UConn was terrible, and they fired their coach, and like they're in the middle of a lawsuit with him right now. You know, you guys know what, you know, you guys have been through this a million times, you know, but like, and I forgot what it's like to be a fan that follows a team that's awful and miserable to watch. And so I think the last two or three years has given me even a new perspective on all this stuff, because, you know, like as you get into the media game, like I think your fanhood gets removed a little bit.
They try and beat it out of you. They try and beat it out of you. You know, cheering in the press box, you can't. It's unprofessional, you know.
Exactly. And so that's given me a new appreciation for the fan that works hard every day and, you know, goes into the office or punches the clock, whatever they do, and they just want to come home and be entertained on Tuesday night, you know, or Saturday afternoon or whatever. It's given me a newfound appreciation. And, you know, I think that at times, you know, fans can be a little bit here's the crazy part too, though, Russ. I don't feel like Tennessee fans throughout all of this have been, like, totally like, let's never forget, Auburn fired a football coach 2 years after he won a national championship. That's insanity. Like Tennessee, I feel like, has put up with a lot and was patient with a lot. And even when Butch Jones was, like, winning games, but it was so obvious that it wasn't sustainable, I feel like they gave him the benefit of the doubt, and it wasn't until he started losing at Georgia 42-0 or whatever it was, worst. I just know it was the worst home loss in school history. Like, it wasn't until then that they turned on him. And so to me, like I said, I actually think, having watched it from afar, I actually thought that Tennessee fans over the last couple of years showed some restraint, and then when it got bad, it obviously was real bad and unfixable, and then you can't really blame anybody for being ready to move on.
Aaron Torres making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Aaron, before we let you run, you are out there on the left coast. What is the reaction? Has LA truly embraced the Rams? I would imagine they have now. Just how big is the story of the Rams making the Super Bowl out there?
Yeah, so I want to dispel something really quick. Is like, L.A. is actually a great sports town. And I use this example all the time, but you know, there are Saturdays in the fall when the Dodgers will have a playoff game and have 60,000 people in the stands. USC will have a football game at the same time, have 90,000 people at the Coliseum. UCLA will have 60,000 at the Rose Bowl. LA is a great sports town, but to directly answer your question, I think people are getting behind the Rams because, like, I don't think the city's embraced the Rams, but I also, like, it kind of annoys me when people are like, you know, they show, like, a random bar and nobody's cheering. Like, this team just showed up 10 minutes ago. And, it really bothers me because for people in L.A., and I didn't grow up here, like I said, I grew up in Connecticut, but there is a 25-year gap where if you wanted to watch NFL football in L.A., you didn't have a team. And so people, you want to watch football, you figure out who your team is. It's the Titans or the Cowboys or the Packers or whoever. And so to expect there to be this ravenous fan base like Green Bay where they've had the team for 100 years, I just think it's ridiculous. So I think people are into it because it's obviously the local team. But, like, it does kind of bother me in a weird way that L.A. gets this rap of because they don't have – you know, generations of diehard fans, that there's somehow this terrible sports town, if that makes sense.
It'll be interesting to see how they do in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I think I speak for pretty much everybody.
I know where you're going with this.
We wish the Rams well, put it that way.
Hey, you know, it'll be interesting. And then I'd just be interested to see, is there a parade? How many people show up to the parade? All that kind of stuff. But I assume a lot of people are going to be Rams fans in 2 weeks from now.
Let's win the game first before we start planning a parade, Aaron. I mean, come on. First things first here. We got to win the game first before we start planning the parade. I'm just saying.
I'd be interested to see how many people would show up to such a thing, considering the team just got here, like, literally when this segment started, I think, was when they officially, like, launched this this team.
So. They're still unpacking the vans, huh?
Exactly. They literally, I don't know if you saw this, last week they couldn't practice because they don't have a practice facility. They had to go to like a gravel. It was raining in L.A. and the fields were like unplayable, or I forget what the deal was, but they had to go to like a gravel parking lot because they literally don't have a practice facility because they're here for, you know, a year, you know, 2 years, I guess, now, and they're building the practice facility right next to the stadium. So
that's awesome. Great story.
And they still beat the Saints.
Still beat them, you know, maybe a little help from the officials, but hey, what are you going to do? You know, it happens. Aaron, appreciate your time, my man. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate you, man.
Aaron Torres, Fox Sports, at Aaron_Torres. Bear, what did you learn?
Aaron went to UConn, which I knew, but I did not realize that he wasn't a big women's basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, it's oftentimes two different worlds. And we talk about Holly and the Lady Vols. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know who every player on the roster and who they're recruiting and memorize the schedule and all that stuff. It's just one of those things. And I do compare it to the baseball program. What have I said about baseball for years when we've talked?
You just didn't much care about it, and it was just kind of boring. Nothing
that's
going on.
Not at all what I said.
I feel like that's what it was you said.
No. I've always said I would like for them to for it to be something to do, for us to be able to talk about it. You know, the times that we've been to the College World Series, this town gets college baseball fever. I mean, it's been 10 years. People forget that. But 95, 2001, 2005, I think those were the three years.
2001, it was off the hook.
I mean, it was crazy. It was nuts every time we've been. And I would like to – I realize you're not going to go to Omaha every single year, but I would like to have that be part of the conversation. I feel very similar about the Lady Vols. We're not going to break down every time they play Arkansas in the regular season here on the show. We're talking about it now because the coach is on the hot seat. But when they make a tournament run, when Pat took them to the Final Four, everybody watched – everybody got Lady Vol fever. Like, when the Weeklies take their team to the College World Series, it becomes a thing here in Knoxville. And we haven't had that experience in women's basketball way too long, and we're going in the wrong direction. So that's the only thing I'm coming from. I'm not trying to shove women's basketball down your throat if that's something that that you're not into. Anyway, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Open these phone lines again, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
I feel like that could actually be a detriment. Like, I feel like other parents, they find out you're the chaperone, would probably not want to send their children.
Why? Your kids would get back to Knoxville safely.
My daughter's doing a thing where her class is going to Nashville for like a whole day on a bus, like early in the morning.
And are you going to chaperone?
I was thinking about it, but it's the Friday of the SEC tournament.
Yeah, no, you
so
can't
I'm
do
probably,
that.
Which I was trying to do. I was like, I wonder if I could go and then go to a game because we'll be playing on a Friday for sure.
Is it in Nashville this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in Nashville for like the next 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah. It's back in Nashville for a while.
Where it belongs.
You think Russ would be a better chaperone for a field trip than me?
He definitely looks the part, especially today.
Thank you.
Why would I?
Nothing about what you have on, Barry. It's more about what Russell has on.
Put it. You don't look professional. You put on a collar. Get yourself an Argyle sweater vest. Pair of nice shoes.
I mean, he looks like Danny Tanner.
He'd be in line getting a snow cone outside the Washington Monument, and like half the kids would disappear on him. At least you know with me, we're probably I've got, you know, like those kid leashes on all of them.
You gotta let your kid go to DC, man.
I don't know, man.
I went in fifth grade. I went in fifth grade.
I don't know.
Which is insane now that I think about it, that my parents let me get on a bus and go to Washington, D.C. without them for like several days in fifth grade at the age of 10, whatever you are in fifth grade.
I know he's not real keen on having me as a chaperone.
Well, yeah. You don't want your dad around. No, you don't want your old man around.
That bus trip up would be interesting.
It's a long bus trip, man. I remember that. Whew.
They would mind. They would mind their manners on that.
That's
bus.
That's the part that would get Bear. I think once he got there, he'd be fine. The trip up and back would be rough.
All right, let's do a quick show recap for those of you just joining us this afternoon. And Brandon, we've had multiple requests now. Can we do the recap
in the Shire? All right.
Go to the Shire here for just a minute. Get into South Knoxville where Randy Boyd's daddy is building East Tennessee's premier luxury resort getaway in the heart of beautiful Vestal.
It looks like Lord of the Rings, but it's not.
What have we been talking about today on the show?
Oh, we've been talking about the elbow a lot. Boo doesn't know what the elbow is.
Oh, try and explain the elbow for us, Bear. Do you know what the elbow is now?
Sure, Russ.
Well, go on, enlighten us then. What
Apparently
is the elbow?
It's around the foul line.
How many Corners. Elbows are there?
Two.
Two elbows.
Oh, Josh Bone loves the elbow.
I just think Jordan. It's some word, like RPO. You guys are just in love with saying it.
Jordan Bone gets to the elbow, it's all over.
We've also been talking a lot about Holly Warlick and whether or not she's cut out for the job. She lost at home to Arkansas on Weeback Pat night. Oh.
You're an idiot.
What
else?
The Holly Warlick disapproval rating hovering right at 95% this afternoon on your Rickard Ridge barbecue smoking hot question.
Rick Barnes and the number one ranked Tennessee Volunteers play at Vanderbilt tomorrow, Squire. 7 o'clock tip-off in Memorial Gym it is. ESPN has the telecast.
Or is it the SEC Network?
I believe it's ESPN2, Russell.
Oh, ESPN2, that's very good.
Does the Shire relax you, man? I mean, I'm so laid back right now, dude. No. I love the Shire. It's like 20 degrees outside. The Shire, it never dips below 65. It's always between 65 and 72 in the Shire.
It's like 50 degrees outside right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that verified? Check my weather app.
44.
Ooh.
Oh, 44. That's very lovely.
It's going to be 60 tomorrow.
I got 46. I got 46 over here.
Somebody's wrong.
Go to the phones. Let's bring John Tweet into the Shire and see if that takes some of the edge off the edginess that is John Tweet.
Oh, hello, John Tweet. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Dovesy.
Yo.
Good day, my friend.
What up, what up?
I sent y'all Rick Barnes early offense seminar. You should take a look at it. You'll learn all about the elbow and what they're trying to do offensively. It's pretty interesting, actually.
You know, when he first got the job, I went to a thing at the practice facility. He held like a film session where they went in depth for like, you know, how they run their break. And I guess a lot of that elbow stuff is kind of like, you know, a secondary break where Bone can get in there. And, you know, it's kind of NBA. I guess a lot of teams do this now, but you'll notice like Bowden and Admiral, when we get rolling on a, you know, they will sprint towards the corners. And then when you get Bone at the elbows, like that opens up. I mean, it's just very hard to defend. It's like, are you going to give us an open look from 3-point range? Like, first of all, you have to stop the ball. And that's hard to do because our point guard's one of the fastest in the country. And then you got to guard the wings. And if you can do all three of those things, then guess what? The SEC Player of the Year, Grant Williams, is probably going to have a one-on-one opportunity somewhere with all kinds of space. So it's pretty interesting, man. They are very in-depth when it comes to how they run that offense.
I swear to God, none of you all have referred to that portion of the basketball court as the elbows until recently.
You are.
Like super recently.
Okay, well, here's
your past couple of weeks.
Jimmy Dykes, when he started talking about it a lot during the Florida game, like people have started – but.
Now, everybody in town, oh, the elbows, elbow this, elbow that. And you all never, ever use that.
No, you're wrong.
It's really pissing me off. It's really pissing me off. You have to pull tape.
Wow. Wow.
But you can,
you're in the Shire, man. Relax, dude. Relax.
You're in the Shire. You got to toke on a little something.
Relax.
You know?
I'm not a grass expert.
Take off that pipe Gandalf had or whatever his name was.
Yeah, dude. Pass the peace pipe.
I'm just saying, you guys are all, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like when everybody starts talking about RPO this and to run pass options, it's the elbows. You guys haven't been saying that crap until about 2 weeks ago because Jimmy Dykes said it.
Is Bear saying the elbow doesn't exist or just that people have been
He said he's never heard about it.
You guys have, nobody's been calling that spot on the court the elbows.
Brandon, you played
Jimmy
high school basketball.
Freaking what Dykes did.
Your coach talked about the elbow every day at practice, right?
It's the elbow.
Oh, bull crap. You guys lying. You don't want to get busted. All you're doing is aping Jimmy Dykes. Thank you, John, for letting me know where they all discovered this their newfangled phrase from.
Maybe it's not, you wouldn't say it is. I don't.
You know what it is? I mean, it's a basketball equivalent of sports radio guys talking about 11 personnel and 12 personnel in football.
It's
exactly
is it
what it is.
Is this similar to the phrase, the throw game? Is that what you're
No.
When people say the throw game?
No. It's people using a term trying to make themselves look like they're smarter than they are about the game of basketball.
It's a very simple term.
Raise your voice, Brandon.
It's common. It's been around since the days of
Nobody
John Wooden.
Nobody has used it until Jimmy Dykes used
you're
it a couple of weeks ago.
You're wrong.
I'm
you're just
not.
Wrong.
I'm not. We could go back through every damn drive show the past 10 years.
Yes, please. Please do that. Please.
You never use that word.
I think the video is from 2017, and he used the great elbow rather frequently.
Such an odd thing to be triggered about.
So is Bear's little Bear going to D.C. and Bear doesn't want him to go, or Bear doesn't want to ride with him? I'm trying to understand.
He doesn't get to go unless I give him my approval. That's how that works. He's trying to talk me into it.
And you, what? Why do you have to be talked into it? Do you just think it's dangerous? You could be kidnapped or something?
I mean, a little bit of that. I mean, let's not act like it's, you know, I mean, times have changed.
Oh, you think you're like a terrorist incident?
I mean, why go be a target?
You can't. You got to let your son live his life, man. You can't just go into a shell and hide, man.
Yeah, you say until a terrorist attack or somebody snatches your kid and you never see him again.
The terrorists win. The chances of either of those things happening less than like 0.00001%.
Let them win. Like, man. They ain't gonna win with my kid.
Where are they going, the Smithsonian Bear?
I have no idea, man.
Yeah, you go. Everybody,
Colonial Williamsburg.
You take that. Oh man, that's awesome. You gotta let go.
Fantastic. By the way,
the only way he's going to go is if I chaperone. You go to an impasse.
You go to the Capitol. You get to meet your Congress. You get to see Burchett.
You think the bus will stop frequently so I can, you know, burn a heater?
You'll go up the Washington Monument, the Museum of Natural History, the Air and Space Museum. You ever been to the Air and Space Museum?
Yeah.
You get to touch that piece of rock, the moon rock. You get to touch it, man.
It's a rock.
The Wright brothers' plane is right there. Goodness.
Clue you in, the moon used to be a part of the Earth, they think. It's just a rock like any rock out in your yard.
Astro Bear.
Get us out of the damn Shire.
Just stop listening to this and Bear laughing about moon rocks. Bear, let him go. That'd be a great trip, man.
Yeah, take parenting advice from John Tweet.
There's police everywhere.
Yeah. Him and Rick Butler. Tops of my list for advice about my child.
You want to do a poll? Hot question, should Bear let the cub go to Washington?
No. I mean, unless you put one with, should I chaperone? That's the only way that kid's going to get to go, is if I go.
I bet Bear would lay down the law on that bus.
You damn Skippy, I would. Everybody be in their seats.
Y'all have a good show, boys. Be good.
Smack down.
All right, this is a good one from Brad. He says, I bet Bearer's mind would be, do you know what they're, in addition to the elbows, do you know what there is in the middle of the free throw line between the elbows? Right in the middle. There's an object.
The key?
No.
What are you talking about? I'm reading one of Chance's lame, stupid tweets. I'm going
to kill you. You like the top of the key, Bear? Is that where you like your threes to come from?
That's my shot.
The top of the key?
Yep, like Grant Williams.
What's in the middle of the free throw line? You know what the free throw line is, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Runs parallel to the baseline.
Captain Jack Wagon, go ahead.
Do you know what is in the middle of the free throw line? Literally, in the floor, right between the elbows, right in the middle of the free throw line.
He's just trying to make me mad about the...
I'm just trying to explain to you. Do you know what's there?
I don't care, Russ.
A nail. A nail.
Would it shock you to learn that there's a nail in the middle of the free throw line?
A little bit.
There you go, Brad.
Brad Rose, yeah.
Bear, are you familiar with the two things down below the elbow, right around the basket? The block? You familiar with the block?
The block? Are you familiar with the block, Bear? I'm going to start talking in a different voice.
What did your basketball coach, and again, I know you play basketball before. I've seen the pictures. Like, what did your coach talk about in practice when he told
me?
Yes. Well, to your
Nothing.
Team.
Nothing. I shot free throws. I didn't pay attention because I was his goon. I just go in and rough people up. Good for about four fouls and then shoot free throws.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. I saw the pictures. You were such a sweet little boy, man. You had this beautiful, like haircut down to your ears. You look like that Jonathan Taylor Thomas kid. Remember in the 90s, the Home Improvement kid?
Yeah, kind of favored a young Bear.
Tube socks coming all the way up to your knees.
It was the
70s,
shorts. Russ. It was the 70s.
It was so cute.
I thought I looked like Dr. J. Cute. That was what I was going for.
Nobody was making that kid go put an elbow through the back of somebody's head.
That kid in that picture did it, bro.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville and the Shire this afternoon. Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Alex says, Bob and Burke say, fire a shot from the elbow at least five times a game. It's true. Bob loves the elbow. Jason says, let Hugh Freeze coach the Lady Vols. He has experience coaching women's basketball. That's true. That's true. I think, I don't know. Does the next coach of the Lady Vols, do the Lady Vols have to be coached by a woman?
Unless her last name's Summit, I think so. I always thought that was going to be interesting, but simply because I think they're pretty firm. Hardcore Lady Vol fans would prefer to have a woman coach. I was always going to be curious how that would play out if Tyler Hatton screwed up and detonated his career. If he had,
I think anybody who is like hell bent on a woman coaching the Lady Vols, like if they're going to make an exception, it would have been for Tyler Summit, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they make that exception anymore.
No. Sports should always be a meritocracy to me. Like, you hire the best person. If there's a man that can, here's a name we haven't discussed much. Is it Wes Moore, the guy at NC State who I believe they are undefeated right now? He's from Chattanooga. Houston Fancher, friend of the drive, is on that staff. They were undefeated as of a week or two ago, having a great season. The only problem is he's in his earlier mid-60s. Like, he's not a young man. You bring me the best basketball coach. I don't care, male, female, black, white, straight, whatever. Like, just bring me the person that's going to win at a level that the Tennessee Lady Vol basketball program should be winning at. Let's get Heath in here next. Heath, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's going on, guys?
What up, man?
So I hate to do this, but I think I'm going to agree with Bear and say, man, I don't really care about the women's basketball team.
I didn't say that now. I said I care about Coach Warlick.
Not in so many words.
I think we just got to be honest here and say that, yeah, it's great to have. I hope they do well every year. But, man, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched the game. It was probably when Candace Parker was there.
I did like me some Candace Parker. I watched a lot of games when she was here.
Okay. Anything else, Heath?
Yeah, there was a story that got me pretty good yesterday about the Beaver.
Yeah.
And I've just got a couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, do you think the Beaver's glad that man didn't find him first? Or do you think the Beaver didn't care anyways?
Oh, I think the Beaver cared. I think it's a terrible way for the Beaver to go out.
I mean, you think the Beaver's happy, though, that woman found him first and tried to go get help? I mean, otherwise, who knows how long it would have been there?
Yeah, I'd imagine once the, you know, assault, as it were, began, that part of the Beaver is wishing that the car had just killed him completely, that, you know, that he wasn't. Was the Beaver conscious for the act? I don't know. There are a lot of questions that are probably best left unanswered, but, yeah.
And second, how do you even know what the gender of the Beaver is, or do you care?
I don't think it makes much of a difference.
Whew. You should do some research and keep us updated on that story, though.
Okay. No, Richard Delp. Old Dick Delp. Been ruled mentally incompetent to stand trial for the sexual assault of a beaver that had been run over by a car in upstate Washington, Washington State, as they call it. Heath wants a follow-up on the beaver assault.
The guy's in the nut house. I don't know though if we're going to get any more news on it. Do you?
I don't know. Maybe we need to get on the phone, follow up. Get the guy on the air for an interview. What were you thinking, buddy?
I highly doubt the whatever
hey there, buddy.
Facility he's in would
keep
be
your
okay
hands off that beaver.
Calling him.
Keep your hands off the beaver, buddy. Beaver's been through enough. He just got hit by a car. What are you thinking, fella?
Do you see where Malik Jackson was on the Late Late Show with James Corden?
I did not.
And apparently they gave him a dancing lesson with another dude.
Really?
Yeah. That's an odd thing for Malik to pop up on the James Corden
show. I didn't know that he was national TV late show worthy. I mean, I realize that's not the number one late show or anything, but I know he's a good player, and he was always a good personality here. I just didn't know he was that well known.
Oh, he was on there with three other NFL players. There was four of them.
Malik Jackson, why will he always hold a special place in Tennessee Vol fans' hearts?
Because he beat the crap out of Derrick Rogers up there after the Kentucky game for saying something ugly to Coach Baggett.
I don't know. No, but that's – I don't know if that's true.
That's why I love him.
What is the main reason that we love Malik Jackson here in Knoxville?
He won the Super Bowl with
Peyton. No.
He spurned Kiffin and transferred to Tennessee when Kiffin left us in the middle of the night.
He was the first player when USC got hammered by the NCAA to leave USC, and he came to Knoxville.
And
build the statue. Hang the banner.
Well,
Malik Jackson. And he was on the Denver Super Bowl team. Was he? Yeah, that's right, because then he signed a big free agent deal with the Jags. And he's been a good player there, man. Their defense was
– Oh, he's a beast.
Always very good.
He is an absolute beast.
All right, stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up here on Fan Run Radio. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Reckon. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive.
Kentucky beats Mississippi State tonight at Corrupt Arena.
I'm going to check it, Russ.
Check it. Kentucky's looking stronger and stronger every game.
Yeah, I guess I'll check it as well. I mean, Mississippi State is – they're clinging to the top 25. That's – should be a good team.
That's Howland down there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Be a fun chance to get a look at them if you haven't seen Mississippi State or Kentucky play yet this year. Zion Williamson will be the number one pick in this year's NBA draft.
Check it.
I'm
checking it.
I'll check it. I don't think he should be.
Who do you think should be?
I can never say his name, the other kid from Duke.
RJ Barrett?
No. I just asked you if
Are you thinking about
name.
The Murray State kid? The Murray State kid?
The point guard that's hurt right now?
Yeah.
Oh. Trey Jones?
Yeah. He's the one and done, isn't he?
I don't know. No. You think Trey Jones should be the number one pick in the NBA draft?
Sure. Why not? I'm controversial today. No, probably RJ Barrett. Either one of them. They both looked incredible the other night.
Who's the dude at Murray State? That guy's awesome.
I've not watched them yet this year.
They're saying he's – well, neither have I, but, I mean, I've seen the highlights. He's – they're talking about him being a potential
– number one?
Yeah. I saw some –
I feel like Zion's kind of soft.
Pull that up for you.
Honestly.
Zion Williams is soft.
Yeah. He got poked in the eye and he missed two games. He's soft with an AWFT. Soft.
He had a corneal abrasion.
I don't care. You think a corneal abrasion keep Admiral Schofield out?
Let me put on those goggles.
I would look forward to Admiral Schofield just abusing him.
Carol Lawson would be a good women's college basketball head coach.
I'm going to wreck it. She's never been a coach. She was just a player. Now she's just a TV personality.
I'll check it. She seems successful in everything that she does.
I'm checking it as well.
You guys are idiots.
Seems a little harsh. That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by OEB Law. You check them out online at wreckittoacheck.com or just call 865-546-1111 to speak to a licensed attorney immediately. Also got a free app that you can download for your tablet and or smartphone. Let's grab a call from Willie. Good afternoon, Willie. You're on the drive.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
What up, Willie?
Hey, you know what I think they ought to do with Holly?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Careful, Willie.
I think they ought to give her a raise and an extension.
Oh, stop.
I agree, Willie.
Yeah.
Hey, we got the women right where they need to be. Hey, after the way they gave the men hell for all those years and the way they always cheered against the men's program, I'd like to see old Hoggy, I'd like to see him give her a raise and an extension. Hey, and I've got part of a snooze machine call for you. What channel's the game on tonight?
What game?
Is Tennessee not playing Vandy tonight, or is that tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night, Willie.
Well, that's why I can't find it. Willie's been working.
We got working Willie. Willie's like, I'm looking for the game tonight. I couldn't find it on the DVR.
hey, but I'll tell you what, though. I really think they should give Holly a raise and an extension.
You guys are a barrel of laughs. You guys are so funny. So funny.
Extend her.
Hey, I say give her a lifetime contract where if she wins 8 games, she gets a raise every year.
You know what I say we give you, Willie?
Coach
the flush button. Boom. Get some. Get wet, you knucklehead.
One of the best Willie calls we've had in a while, Russ, and then you flushed him.
I'm surprised that fiscally responsible Bear wants to give Holly Warlick a raise.
Oh, it's almost as if he's completely full of horse dung.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
I am not. I like Holly. She went to Bearden.
So, on that note.
You go to a basketball game tonight?
Who's playing? Catholic?
Catholic and Bearden.
The Drew Pember Show? I guess this
Not
one's
the
at Catholic.
Pember Show. I mean, there's probably between the two teams. There's probably
I like that point guard, Quay Glover, that Bearden has.
They've
that
got
kid's a baller, man.
Well, I mean, obviously, Pember's already got a high major offer, or he's committed to a high major. There's probably 4 or 5 guys that are going to be on the floor tonight that will end up playing high major basketball.
Knoxville, Tennessee. D1 college basketball talent pool.
Hotbed right now.
Hotbed of hoops.
They're going to get it on over there. Bearden's good.
Big thanks to Rick Butler for quality control this afternoon. Well done, sir. Your podcast will be out momentarily wherever you receive podcasts. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8 p.m. right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back in studio getting ready for Tennessee and Vandy tomorrow, 3 to 6, here on The Drive.